The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This podcast is sponsored by Berkeley Books and their new psychological thriller, Somebody's Daughter, by best-selling author David Bell. We follow Michael, a man who has only 12 hours to save the life of a missing girl, a girl who may or may not be his own daughter.
Ooh.
When a decade-old secret comes to light, he'll have to uncover the truth before time runs out, leading to a shocking ending that you'll never see coming, John.
I have to get this book.
Well, Somebody's Daughter is actually available July 10th, and you can start reading an excerpt of this twist filled ride now at prh.com/David Bell.
911, do you request?
Help me, please. I need help.
Ma'am?
I don't know where my parents are.
Ma'am, calm down. What's going on?
Someone broke in and I heard shots, like pops. I don't know what's happening. I'm tied upstairs and I think my dad went outside and he's screaming.
Hey, guys.
That was a different way to start the show.
You know, we've only done one cold open previously, which was the,
Lizzie Borden.
Oh, the Lizzie Borden one.
Yes.
And fans really loved that one.
They were a little scared. Yeah. I don't think that they were prepped.
No, they weren't.
How did I sound urgent enough in my call?
I have to say, I was really impressed.
Thank
because
you.
You do an urgent distressed person very well.
I could do that in the disclaimers on any legal disclaimers. I'm
very
good at that.
You should add that on your LinkedIn. Like, I do disclaimers.
I really can.
And phone calls
really
well.
Megan doesn't even need to speed it up.
No. Amazing.
I'm helping her job.
Yeah, absolutely.
Basically. Well, we have a lot to get through today.
You know, we're just doing a lot on the show lately.
We were missing part of a blender, which apparently we needed for today's drinks.
Yeah.
Matt is gasping right now over here, so I'm not.
Matt just said it's dripping out. What the fuck? And I just hope he's talking about the blender.
Oh my god, it is dripping out. I think it's broken.
How do you use a fucking blender, you guys?
I think it might be broken actually, because I can hear the drip. So maybe put it. There's a plastic bag to your right. Maybe put it in there, just to save it from dripping into the. All right. Well, technical difficulties. Not every drink can be the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, let's just hope that we, I'm laughing because Matt, I don't think we need the blender
the
today. And I think it's
broken.
Okay that we don't,
we were gonna
that
have
we
a
don't
frozen
drink.
Drink.
When you're, we're going to start the show.
So,
well, we stopped.
We had to stop recording for a minute because Matt is so inept.
We're not really sure if the blender's broken or if Matt just doesn't know how to use a blender.
Gina just walked by like,
Gina,
what is going on?
Gina, our staff is coming in to go investigate.
Gina, do you know what's happening
Gina,
to the blender?
Gina, he spilled it everywhere.
It literally went all the way through.
Gina, tell us what you think went down.
She's going to hop on the mic.
After investigating this tragic situation.
Yeah. Do you know?
Well, I have a feeling it might be my fault because it's my blender and I did forget a piece of it today. So I'm going to look and see if I can sort it out.
But even
perhaps
if you
forgot the bottom of the blender, which
say,
might
even
keep.
Even if you forgot a piece, how does all of it go through it?
Yeah, it went completely through
it. I don't think it's your fault, Gina. We're just going to say it's Matt's fault. Likely Matt broke it before we started.
Although Matt picking up the blender of being of no import and use. And
I say let's continue
let's
the recording.
Just keep going.
And
here.
Then when Matt wants to come back on, it smelled like a good
it
drink.
It smelled like it would have been a great drink.
I picked it up and I have alcohol over my hands and it smells delicious.
It's, we should call this Smells and Murders because we're not having a martini today.
So let's get into what we were going to discuss
today.
By
the way, I trust Gina and not Matt. So Gina, thank you for your help, Matt.
What, Gina's going to make this thing in 2 fucking seconds. She's like, all you need to do is put the cover on, Matt. Like, that's all it's going to be.
So as we get into this episode, just know that this some of the recovery is happening in the background.
Just know that we don't really know what we're drinking today, but it's probably going to be decent.
And just know it smells good.
And it smells good.
Yeah,
but let's get into it.
Okay.
This week's murder is actually about Jennifer Pan.
Yes. Yeah, so Jennifer Pan grew up in the Canadian city.
Are you just going to take my
this is
my
your
thing
segment.
For me? That's why you think I'm setting you up? Or what, what's
sounded,
the deal there?
It sounded like you were setting me up.
Oh, okay.
What a fun morning. Is
no,
it
this
not?
Is good, John. This is only our 85th episode.
It's crazy. It's like I should know how to do this by this point. All right, Darren, why don't
you
go
sure?
ahead? Yes, why don't you take this one?
Jennifer Pan grew up in the Canadian city of Markham.
As Gina I just fixed said. Everything.
Gina
works.
Fixed it. What happened?
Tell us, Gina. Yeah. Speak into the mic and just tell us.
Yeah.
Well, I screwed it in.
Oh.
But we'll see. It might still be. Wait till we've got a full drink.
Right.
For all
no.
the ladies wondering how Matt is in bed, and I can speak to this due to our sleepover, he doesn't even know how to screw in a blender. So pretty confident you can just...
Keep your hopes down, yeah.
However, Gina Steph Boozer...
Clearly knew
probably
how to do that.
Probably a great expert
great.
In the bedroom,
good
and we'll
Gina.
Have to be testing that one out later.
Good for Gina.
I
by
volunteer.
The way, Gina, who I sit next to at work, all bets are off in this room. So,
yes, my mom wasn't proud of me being called the staff boozer. She's certainly going to be proud of me being called a great expert in the bedroom.
Yes, exactly, because you know how to work a blender.
And shout out to Gina's mom.
Yes, shout out to Gina. Anyway,
back to the crime at hand.
Jennifer
here.
Pan, as most of you probably now know 45 times, grew up in a Canadian city of Markham, which is actually near Toronto.
Ooh.
Her parents, Bisha and Hui Han Pan, were of Chinese descent and had immigrated to Canada from Vietnam. My apologies if I didn't pronounce that correctly.
I think you did a great job with that.
Thank you. She had a brother who was actually 3 years younger. I have a brother who's 3 years older. Older.
Connection to the case.
So we're kind of the same.
Jennifer's
thing. Parents worked hard in manual labor jobs at an auto parts manufacturer in the hope of providing their children with more opportunities than they were ever given, which is a common thread.
Yeah, definitely.
I would say. I'd say every parent wants that for their child.
Especially immigrant families, by the way.
Yeah, especially immigrant families. According to Toronto Life magazine, which did an extensive piece on this case that was written by a friend of Jennifer's, Han, the father, was a tool and die maker, and Bish, the mother, made car parts. Oddly enough, my grandfather always wanted to be a tool die maker. Always.
Oh, really?
That was like what he wanted to do growing up. He went into our family business instead, but like that, he can fix anything. We had this like 1980s hair dryer in my house in Boca, and it wasn't working one day, and so I threw it out. He took it out of the trash, refixed it, and then threw it out just to say that he could fucking fix
it. I thought you were going to say and sold it on eBay for $10,000.
No, that would be amazing.
That would have been amazing, yeah.
So somehow by 2004, not too long ago, they had saved up enough money to buy a large home in a quiet residential neighborhood and had $200,000 in the bank, plus a Mercedes, and a Lexus.
I mean, I don't have $200,000 in the bank, but that's a lot of money.
That
and
seems
good.
For
them.
That seems like a nice seed.
I don't know.
How do people have $200,000?
I don't live in New York City.
That much money.
You don't live in New York. That's one thing.
Well, you don't live in New York, but I think everything matters. And I think if you are really conscious about, you
that's
know,
true.
Not buying coffee, not making lunch, you know,
right.
not taking cabs, taking the subway or biking or this and that, you really can. Like $50 every week if you make your lunch
that's
does
true.
Add up. And so people who really need it, it's possible.
Yeah.
Jennifer's parents, Han and Bish, expected their children to work as hard as they did. And while all of them working hard, their children would be able to be even more successful than they were. So they were setting themselves up for a great life.
Yeah.
An investigative journalist told Killer Couples, quote, they had high expectations for their children in school achievements, academics and extracurriculars, end quote. And they considered Jennifer their golden child. She was enrolled in piano lessons by the age of 4, which is just common. I feel like every little kid had taken piano lessons of some sort and did figure skating in elementary school. In both extracurriculars, she excelled, amassing a collection of trophies.
Before we go forward, I just want to ask, were you ever in any like extracurricular things as a child that you remember not wanting to do that maybe?
No, my parents let me do everything. I mean, the one thing I remember like not being, you know, as a kid, like you're not overexcited for summer camp and certain things like that. You just want to stay home and
totally.
Blah, blah, blah. I did swimming and gymnastics and I was like an athlete. So I did a lot of that stuff. And if I wanted to quit, I just did.
Yeah. I really wanted to be on the soccer soccer team when I was in elementary school. But my mom was like, that's like too physical. Like she was always like worried I was going to kill myself. So I'm happy maybe that she took me out of that.
Follow up question to your mom is, are you happy with how you turned out now,
knowing everything that I know
knowing
now?
This was the result.
This is a great result. Thank you very much.
In fact, Jennifer was so ambitious that she was thinking of trying to make the team to compete in the 2010 Winter Olympics in Vancouver.
I'm a cellist who collects Beanie Babies. That's a success.
I think we are all nodding our heads in disagreement.
And plays Pokemon.
According to Toronto Life magazine, in elementary school, it was not uncommon for Jennifer to get home from skating at 10 p.m. and then study until midnight, which is fucking crazy. but she actually tore a ligament in her knee, which is going to affect her athletic career.
Right. So in high school, by the way, now it's my turn.
Do you want me to take it?
No, so I'll take this one. In high school, Jennifer's interest began to change, though, or maybe just expand. She wanted a boyfriend. Okay, understandable. But her father, Han, forbade her to date. He also did not allow her to go to dances or parties. So basically, this is a setup for not a good scenario. Every high schooler wants to be with their friends and be doing social activities and have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. So when you suppress that, it's not going to end well.
No.
In most cases. An attorney for Jennifer told Killer Couples, quote, he wanted his children to be focused only on education.
Seems like strict parenting.
Yeah, that's pretty strict. You know? Jennifer had always been a straight A student. And according to Toronto Life, she was also a social butterfly who mixed with guys, girls, Asians, Caucasians, jocks, nerds, people deep into the arts, end quote. Killer Couples noted that Jennifer was, quote, pretty and smart and had no difficulty making male friends at school. But Jennifer's grades began to slip a bit, and an investigative journalist told Killer Couples,
it feels like he's about to blend something now, so I'm like, really?
So Matt walked over here with the blender, and I assume that's how he was about to serve the drinks, but nope, he's plugging it in
as
on the
Megan
ground.
As Megan moves her computer away.
Yeah, Megan's like, I don't want to be a part of the... of this, because what if it like goes crazy and like shards of glass?
Well, I'm the farthest
away,
so I feel okay about it.
You're safe, but Megan and I are in direct projectile
just
territory.
Just keep.
I feel like everyone should close their eyes.
Yeah. Oh, that's a muddled blender sound.
Here's some noise if anyone wants to hear it.
Oh, that's fun. I'm sure they would love to hear that.
To be honest, in case you want to hear a blender,
yeah.
I don't.
Gina, what kind of blender have you been bringing in for us?
It sounds great. It sounds like a food processor, actually. Matt, how's it going?
Very well.
Okay, good.
It's going.
All right, well, we're going to get back to the show while you're doing that. It just doesn't sound like a normal blender. I don't know.
It doesn't. It sounds like a rotor.
It sounds
like a
bad
car starting.
Car that
but
didn't
you know
start.
What? It's fine. There's nothing raw in it.
It actually looks good, I will say.
Oh, okay. All right, he's done.
All right.
Okay,
an investigative journalist told Killer Couples, quote, she had like average grades, but not as high as her parents would have wanted them, end quote. Worried that her parents would crack down even further on her social activities, like emailing or texting friends, she decided to start forging her grades. When Jennifer was 16, she begged her parents to go on a trip to Europe to study music during her junior year, and they relented.
Wow.
An investigative journalist told Killer Couples, quote, being in Europe and seeing all the beauty and not having her parents monitoring her every single day was extraordinary on its own.
I have a feeling this is kind of where it gets kind of hairy, because it's a kid who grew up in sort of a strict household, had all these expectations, and here she is
alone,
gallivanting around Europe.
Yeah.
So who's Daniel Wong? Daniel Wong was born in 1985 to Chinese Filipino parents. He was a senior when Jennifer was a junior, and he grew up about 20 minutes away from her, so not too far. He had a great upbringing, just like Jennifer, but he had a reputation as a bad boy and dealt weed at his high school.
Bad boy.
Daniel went on the same European trip as Jennifer, and during the trip, there was a moment when she had a terrible asthma attack, so bad, actually, that she almost blacked out and actually thought she was going to die.
Oh,
I don't have asthma, but that just seems like a nightmare.
Well, I know a couple of my close friends have it, and they used to have it really bad, like, in high school as well, and it's, like, a really scary thing.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.
Oh, finally our drinks.
Oh, we have our drinks.
Oh, which have a little green something.
Hopefully that's mint and not like grass or something.
Buggas.
Yeah, or buggas.
Buggas. Gina, thanks for making this drink possible. We really appreciate it.
Staff boozer.
Let's
living
cheers.
Up to her name.
Yeah, I do. Gina, thank you. She does so many of the recipes now.
She does, yes.
She does everything. She just you just don't let her speak on this because you're a fucking ham.
Recipe,
and you
she
need
fixes
your,
blenders.
You your...
Cheers, bitch.
Cheers,
did
bitch,
Megan
Gina.
Get one? No, you're not drinking, Megan. I forgot.
Gina.
Gina.
Gina,
cheers.
Okay.
Thank you for
let
your
me taste
help.
This shit.
Take a first sip. Let me know what you think. Thoughts? Did
it
Matt even
like,
tell us what we were
drinking?
He
didn't even tell us what it was, but it tastes like a mojito.
It is. Pretend it's super icy.
yeah.
We had some technical difficulties, which I will take responsibility for
no,
because
Gina,
of the blender.
This was
no,
not
that's
your
fine.
Fault. Matt takes the blame for everything that goes wrong in this show.
But we made it with some Crujean white rum,
ooh,
which is from St. Croix, and the distillery was damaged in the hurricane. It is back up and running now.
Oh, good.
Wow, okay. That's good to know.
And some White Claw hard seltzer lime flavor in there to give it a little sparkle.
Okay, I was thinking that's what I was tasting, something
and some
like
mint
that.
And lime juice, and it's actually pretty healthy for you because there's not much sugar in it.
Oh.
I was going to say, it's not as fruity as
my
that
summer
mojitos.
Body. Okay, let me take another sip.
Thank you, Gina. Very delicious.
Thanks, guys.
It's very
I
strong.
I actually like the blended mint on top. Is
yeah,
that like
me too.
A U-touch? Is that how it's supposed to be?
The blended mint.
I never see blended mint, so maybe that was an accident, but I actually kind of like that.
Yeah, I do too.
So good mistakes
yeah.
all around
all
today.
All around today, absolutely.
I'm
thanks,
good.
Gina.
Yeah, thank you, Gina.
See you back at the desk in a few hours.
Hi, this is Todd Vanderwerf, the host of Vox.com's pop culture podcast, I Think You're Interesting. I'm the I in I Think You're Interesting, and every week I talk to fascinating people from the world of TV, movies, and entertainment. Have you ever wondered what it's like to write a joke for the president?
Number one topic we would not joke about was national security. One of the things about writing jokes for a president is if you have the joke, And it's totally in good taste, but then a week later something happens. There's a tragedy, there's a shooting, there's a terrorist attack. The joke can become retroactively in bad taste. We didn't want anything to end up in a campaign ad.
Or what goes into creating the costumes for a blockbuster movie like Black Panther.
We brought in the head cutter from the Boston Ballet into Atlanta to give us a new suit for the stunt guys that's cut with these special gusset shapes so that they could perform, you know, like the ballet.
You can find so much more information about the show at vox.com/I Think You're Interesting, hyphens between the I, the think, the year, and the interesting. And you can catch new episodes of I Think You're Interesting every Thursday by subscribing to the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts.
So as I said, Jennifer was having this terrible asthma attack, so much so that she thought she was really going to die. So Daniel actually came to her rescue. This is on this European trip.
Right.
Coached her breathing and comforted her.
Wow.
An investigative journalist told Killer Couples, somebody saved her. For a young girl who is maturing and her hormones are surging, it must have felt just like love. End quote.
I will say this.
Maybe.
Maybe. Exactly. I hate when, especially, I don't know if this investigative journalist was a male, but when men project the whole idea of like, women's hormones were going crazy. Like,
I just had to step in to calm them down.
Yeah, like maybe that happened, but let's not talk about like the way women's bodies work. You know, I just hate that kind of stuff.
Oh, really? You don't like the way women's bodies work?
I don't like when people don't try to twist my words. Get back to the show.
For the rest of the trip, the two were basically inseparable. After they returned home, they began sneaking around, and this made their physical connection, I would say, more intense, according to Killer Couples. An investigative journalist told Killer Couples, quote, they shared intimacy, and frankly, they did things that Jennifer's family would have considered quite forbidden.
Quote.
Leave that, you know, to open to interpretation.
Right, right.
When Jennifer was 18, her parents were thrilled to discover an early acceptance letter in the mail from Ryerson University in Toronto. Little did they know that Daniel had also decided to live in Toronto so the two of them could be together.
Oh.
Young love. Jennifer had promised to study during the week, live on campus, and make the 30-minute drive home every weekend. Doesn't sound like too much fun for a college kid's life.
By the way, I will say, I'm glad you brought that up, because I went home my freshman year of college every single weekend, only because I lived very nearby to where I was living. And it was just nice to get like away from, you know, dorm rooms and smelly guys.
Oh,
yeah.
Do you feel that way now?
Yeah, actually, I do.
Oh, okay. Her father was thrilled because her plan was to study science at Ryerson University for 2 years, then transfer to pharmacology program at the University of Toronto, where her dad had wanted her to go into pharmacology there.
Yeah.
So she's really living into like her parents' dreams for her. She carried through with her promise to come home on the weekend, and she would update her family about her classes and college life. But in reality, she was actually spending time with Daniel Wong in an off-campus, what I want to say, Love Nest.
I like that. But the story gets a lot stranger here because Jennifer wasn't actually attending college at all, which is obviously a huge problem.
That's a big lie, Jennifer.
According to Toronto Life magazine, Jennifer's early acceptance to Ryerson had been revoked after she failed calculus in her senior year.
Well,
I have to just say something about this Toronto Life magazine article. It's huge. It's like a massive piece. And
right.
A fair amount of information came from this article, and it was written by someone who knew her very well and knew Daniel. It was a friend of hers, basically.
When you say
this
huge,
is like
you mean
insiders.
Like,
this is like a 20,000 word.
Yeah.
That's what you mean.
Like a really big, significant piece that goes really in depth.
Wow.
And she knew all of them. So
it's very reputable. That's good to know. Instead of owning up to the situation, however, she forged documents to make it look like she had received a college loan, and she convinced her dad she'd won a small scholarship.
That's
a lot.
Maybe I'm just such a nervous kid and
me
I
too.
Wouldn't know how to like be a rebel, but this just seems like so many lies. To keep away from
keep
them,
going,
especially
yeah.
if you're that close to home. Like,
I completely agree.
Wouldn't they catch you? Anyway.
Well, I guess you're at a certain sense of like desperation here.
Yeah, for sure.
She had also obtained used science textbooks and bought school supplies. She spent time in libraries researching science topics and making notes in her textbooks. She would often hang around at cafes or visit Daniel at York University, where he was taking classes. She taught piano lessons for money and at some point tended bar at a Boston Pizza restaurant where Daniel was a kitchen manager. By the way, Boston Pizza, the name of the restaurant. She wasn't traveling to Boston, just
right.
so we know.
I've never heard of Boston Pizza.
I hadn't
I'm
either.
Sure it's shitty, just like the rest of Boston.
After
going.
2 years, she informed, no offense to anybody listening from Boston.
No, just the sports fans.
Just the sports fans,
yes.
yeah. After 2 years, she informed her dad that she had been accepted into the University of Toronto, and he was very pleased. Han eventually became suspicious of Jennifer after she had informed him that she was volunteering at a blood testing lab at a hospital, and she'd need to spend more time away from the house because it required weekend hours. So Dad wasn't really, you know, he knew something was up when she was like, I gotta get out of here. You know,
I mean, that's actually a decent excuse, though, because if you're using it as like work, like
things,
what are her parents going to say?
Totally, that's true. So he insisted as I typically say, that's a good point. Have a drink.
That's right.
So he insisted he and Beach drop Jennifer off at the hospital the next day. This led to a confrontation, and Jennifer eventually admitted she hadn't been attending the University of Toronto, didn't do any work at the hospital, and had been staying with Daniel, her boyfriend.
So she got caught.
She got caught.
And she owned up to everything.
It's also, we wouldn't know this, but it's Beak.
Beak.
Beak. Oh, that's good to know. Beak.
Beesh is more fun, but we'll go with beak. Yes. That sounds good.
So Matt's really a beesh.
Yeah, there you go.
But it's really beak. Okay.
You can only imagine her father's reaction when she admitted all of this, these things. She was forbidden from seeing Daniel, of course. All of her money was cut off. Remember, her parents had been paying, as we said, for most of her life here.
Well, yeah, they wanted her to live up to their dreams.
To their dreams of her education, yeah. Jennifer's cell phone and laptop were taken away for 2 weeks and then was only allowed to use them in her parents' presence. Keep in mind, she's an adult.
Right.
So this is all happening.
This isn't too long ago.
No,
this is
yeah.
not, you know, 1786
right.
here.
And had to endure surprise checks of her text messages, according to Toronto Life. Now, look, I totally get it. If you've been lying to your family and, you know, they have every reason to
monitor what you're doing.
And, yeah, and monitor what's
but
up.
But usually this just encourages them to do more harmful shit.
And not only that, as an adult, it just seems a little bit too invasive. If you're a 16-year-old, a 15-year-old with a rebellious whatever.
Right. This is a grown-ass woman.
Feels a bit much.
And the funny thing is she doesn't really seem like a rebel.
Yeah, no, you know? Exactly.
I think it's because she just lied to them about so many things and probably the one thing that they wanted for her and it all came out
spiraled.
That they were just, now they've lost all trust in her because it wasn't like she slowly developed, you know, admitted the truth.
Yeah,
this was
totally.
All at once.
Yeah. Well, the odometer in her car was also being tracked to make sure she was going only where she
that
said she was
intense.
Going.
That is intense. That's Ferris Bueller shit.
No, I know. And it has, I have this image in my head of like their house has like a map with like lines
oh
to
my
like
God, yes.
try to figure out how many
Find
miles.
Find my iPhone like shit.
An investigative journalist told Killer Couples, quote, because she had to break up with Daniel, she was heartbroken and depressed that she was given all these restraints at home where she couldn't go out. She was essentially at home all the time. She said she felt like a prisoner, end quote. The investigative journalist also told Killer Couples that Han said, quote, if she wanted to be with Daniel, then she would have wait and she would have to wait until he was dead, end quote. Daniel Wong moved on and found a new girlfriend.
I mean, I can't imagine this, but as a child being told that, as a child, you know, of these fairly strict parents that you can't see, you know, this is like Romeo and Juliet type of stuff. Like, you're just encouraging them to, it's like putting things on the black market, right? You're just encouraging them now to do illegal activity in order to get them the thing that they want.
Well, right. And, you know, in that one quote I just read, all these restraints at home, it's like she was in at house
like a prisoner,
arrest.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So at this time, it was November of 2010, and Jennifer was 24 years old. I was an NBC page, starting my career at NBC.
Amazing.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
If you haven't figured it out by now, it was Jennifer who placed that 911 call that we read at the beginning of the episode. Police arrived at the house and discovered Jennifer tied upstairs.
I was just going to say, you did a great job as
Thank
Jennifer.
You. An investigative journalist told Killer Couples, quote, even though she was tied up, she said that she could reach around and pull the cell phone out, and that's how she called 911, end quote. That does seem like a reach to me, pardon my pun, but hard
a
little bit of a reach. In the basement, they discovered that her mother, who was 53 years old, shot point blank twice in the head.
Oh my God.
An investigative journalist told Killer Couples, quote, the intruders had forethought, which was let's put blankets over their heads so that the sound is muffled and blood doesn't spatter everywhere, including all over them. Ugh. That's having some wherewithal about you because
I would have never have thought of that. So these like details where you like you learn how to do crimes.
It's not like a quick robbery. You know, not being able to think about this. But Han, who was home at the time of the attack, was nowhere to be found. Jennifer said the last time she'd seen her dad was while she was on the 911 call. In fact, you could hear her screaming out for her dad during the call. Han had gone upstairs from the basement just after the attack, and he could be heard screaming during Jennifer's 911 call. He had been shot once in the face and once in the shoulder and had gone unconscious.
Oh my God.
The killers thought he was dead. But when he came to, he managed to stumble to a neighbor's house. He was barely alive and was rushed to the hospital where he was placed into a medically induced coma. Mm. And Jennifer had positioned the crime as a home invasion. Her attorney said to Killer Couples, they asked, "Where's the money? We want money," end quote. She said they were male intruders, but she was having trouble describing them. Actually, in an interview with the police, Jennifer said, quote, "I don't remember any of his clothing, unfortunately. The only thing I can remember with him was he had dreadlocks," end quote. Which isn't overly specific. It's a detail.
Yeah.
Not overly specific.
Right.
The police became suspicious of the home invasion story for a lot of the reasons that we kind of just said.
Yeah.
There was actually $200 in Bick's purse that hadn't been stolen. There was a safe that was completely untouched. The luxury cars were still in the garage. And the way Beek had been murdered and the intruders had attempted to murder Han, it seemed more like the work of professionals than just this random quick burglary.
Yeah. And we've done a lot of shows where burglaries and home invasions, and I feel like we're learning a little bit about, just from your descriptions,
yeah, how
what
the
really
setup
went
is
down.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, police found out some interesting information when Han woke up out of his medically induced coma. He claimed that the intruders did not seem to be total strangers to his daughter. An investigative journalist told Killer Couples, quote, "She was talking to some of the intruders. They were actually very nice to her," end quote. That's odd.
That is odd.
They're not really intruders if you're having, like, you're kikiing
well,
in the
yeah,
house, right?
Like, you know, about to kill your parents and, like, right. You're just like, "Hey, Sal." Like, that seems like just like crazy. Sorry to all the Sals out there.
Yeah, to
Sals. You're not all murderers.
Yeah, that's true. Police brought Jennifer in for questioning, and in a couple of hours, she cracked. An investigative journalist said, quote, "She set this whole thing up and she paid for it, but it gone terribly wrong," she said, end quote. Jennifer claimed she had hired hitmen to assassinate her. Without Daniel, life wasn't worth living. So she's basically saying, come kill me. This is all, I can't take it here anymore.
Right, exactly.
Additionally, an investigative journalist said, quote, "She'd been exposed as a liar and a thief. She had absolutely no education, hadn't even finished high school. As far as she was concerned, she was the walking dead. She just needed somebody to kill her," end quote. I don't know. That's a little bit far-fetched to me.
Yeah, I mean, like, no education, hadn't even finished high school.
There are a lot of people that have that scenario in life.
And she clearly was a bright student,
yeah,
you know, and
yeah,
maybe didn't apply herself to the way that we wanted, but she wasn't yeah, dumb.
Yeah, Jennifer said she'd hired someone who went by the nickname Homeboy to kill her.
Oh.
The police asked for Jennifer's phone and found she'd communicated with a man named Lenford Crawford. A lawyer told Killer Couples, quote, "Lenford Crawford
what
was..."
What a name.
I know, that's a tough
a
one
to
say.
A lot of Fords in there.
Yeah, a lot of Fords. Lenford Crawford was working as a part-time mechanic, moving small amounts of marijuana to people that wanted it in the city. And
that's
so
why
everyone.
You go by Homeboy.
Homeboy,
if your
that's
name
true.
Is Lenford Crawford.
And you're selling marijuana throughout the entire city of Toronto. Yeah. Hey, I'm Lenford Crawford. Yeah, that's
hey guys,
that.
Watch out. It's me,
it's
Lenford Crawford.
It's like being
Crawford.
A Clarence.
Yeah.
I have
right.
your bag of marijuana. This is Lenford Crawford.
I'm going to need this plus tax. It comes into $85.25. Like, that's what that is. That's a Lenford Crawford right there.
Yes, Lenford Crawford is here yes. to see you. When police questioned Lenford, he said that he and Jennifer did have a mutual friend in common, Daniel Wong.
Done.
Dun, dun. Daniel was brought in for questioning. He claimed he knew nothing about the murders and told investigators, quote, "Her parents didn't want us to be, her family didn't want us to be together. And I respect that decision and I moved on." Respected, rather.
That's what we know right now.
That's what we know so far, yeah. Police began combing through the phone records of all three. They discovered that Daniel, who did get another girlfriend, had not completely moved on from Jennifer. An investigative journalist told Killer Couples, quote, "They were still using pet names with each other and saying they would always be there for each other."
Okay,
quote.
So this is star-crossed lover shit right
yeah,
there.
Yeah. And I don't know about, like, communicating with your ex with pet names. Like, that's not ever going to go over well.
Yeah, it's not a good look.
No. And by the way, I'm an advocate for being friends with your exes if you can manage that.
Okay,
but,
good.
But
so
pet
am I.
Names, maybe not.
Yeah.
There's a certain, like, line.
Yeah,
that
I'm
you
not
have
calling
to...
any of my exes, like, sugar tits or
right.
anything like that.
Definitely
yeah,
no. not.
Matt,
that's for
however,
me. I was going to say, that's
I
for me.
I do call sugar tits.
Because I'm in your phone as sugar tits.
Sugar
right?
tits. We need more.
Sugar tits. We need more drink. Investigators, did I just call my boss sugar tits? I think
you
did.
In fact, I said it. I wasn't, and I saw Megan cringe a little bit as I said it. So we're just gonna keep moving on.
In it's okay, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a long morning.
There's
people.
A lot going on
it's
in the studio.
A lot going on today.
Investigators discovered. We have to play that one back.
Did I just call my boss sugar tits?
Investigators discovered that Jennifer and Daniel had been making frequent contact with Lenford, aka Homeboy, and that their messages were a bit cryptic, but there was something about, quote, 10 stacks.
Yo, bills, yo. 10 bills. Stacks of bills. That's what I think.
I'm so unaware pancakes? Of this world. I'm like, I don't know what a stack is. Oh, pancakes. Buttermilk pancakes with like maple
maybe
syrup.
Maybe they're blueberry. Maybe they're chocolate chip.
That would be so. By the way,
Lenford Crawford
would be bringing stacks
pancakes.
Of
pancakes. Since birth.
I love that we both thought that at the exact same time.
Hi, this is Lenford Crawford.
And I have that 10 stacks of pancakes.
This will cost you 10 stacks.
10 stacks? I have 10 stacks of blueberry pancakes. Anyway, they realized 10 stacks was actually slang for a $10,000 payment for the murder of two people. I'm getting
way
lost.
Way to bring it down, John.
Sorry. Jennifer Pan, Daniel Wong, Lenford Crawford, a.k.a. Homeboy, and two associates of Lenford's, because Daniel didn't actually participate in the actual home invasion, were all put under arrest for the first-degree murder of Beek and attempted murder of Han Pan, which is Pan, which is a real name.
Han Pan.
You know what?
Give up.
I'm just like giving up. Where is this show going? Should we just finish it right here? I feel like we should.
We're hitting like every single violation of shitty things you can
say. So rude. Like this whole episode is so rude.
So rude. Okay. During the trial, prosecutors brought up that Jennifer stood to inherit $500,000. Remember, parents were very thrifty and frugal and saved a lot of money.
It's always about that inheritance.
They claim the motive was that Jennifer and Daniel had planned the murders because her father, Han, had forbidden Jennifer from seeing Daniel, right? Okay. This all lines up to the narrative that you and I have been saying.
Right. And again, it's Han Pan, in case
Han
anyone
Pan, yeah,
got
not Han Pan, not Han which Pan. Is what you thought.
It's a mess.
On the stand, Jennifer stuck by her story, which was that she had not intended to have her parents killed. Remember, she thought she set up because she didn't want to live anymore. An investigative journalist told Killer Couples that she claimed, quote, she'd hired the hitmen to come in to make it look like a home invasion and kill her, and then it went terribly wrong, end quote. According to the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, quote, Jennifer Pan, 28, was found guilty of both first-degree murder and attempted murder for her role in the 2010 incident, which left her 53-year-old mother, Beek Ha Pan, dead, and her father
I'm glad this
with
is the
a
last
critical
segment.
Head wound.
Let's put it that way.
According to the CBC, she was sentenced to life in prison with no possibility for parole for 25 years.
Wow.
Okay, so that's going to put her in like the 63 range or whatever. Daniel Wong and Homeboy were found guilty of actually the same charges. Jennifer's dad said, quote, when I lost my wife, I lost my daughter at the same time. I hope my daughter, Jennifer, thinks about what happened to her family and can become a good, honest person someday, end quote. Which that just seems like a very nice little bow to wrap up on this outrageous, tragic gift of an episode. But I mean, him being able to say that, like, I still hope that she's a good person, I think is coming from this father point of view, but maybe a little bit of like, I can't believe this. And
I don't,
I'm not saying take the blame on yourself, but sort of like what environment caused this to happen.
Totally.
Under what circumstances did my child go horribly wrong?
Yeah.
What went down, and to still have hope for her, I think is kind of the only thing that a parent can really have.
For sure.
Unlike anybody else.
Yeah. And, you know, I think this is a great, you know, in terms of the way things end with our tragic murder stories, this was an interesting one because we don't always hear of someone who is directly affected by this case, their murder, wish that the murderer or the person found guilty at least can recover from it. Now,
exactly.
And I'm a big advocate of this because, although, yes, people who murder usually have horrible, terrible mindsets, you know, I don't know that we should always be like, let's send them away to jail. Or as you've said in many cases, should we kill, you know, capital punishment? Is that the way to truly punish somebody?
And I don't know if you get any better in prison, you know, and I guess I don't really have the facts, but even if you have, and I'm not saying Jennifer did, but even if you have some sort of mental illness or something like that, is prison really the answer for this?
Right.
Like, is prison going to turn Jenna? I don't know. Like, and she deserves to go to jail if she's found guilty of killing
for
her
sure.
or attempted murder of her parents. But
don't we always hope for a recovery for people that may have potentially?
I would hope. Yeah. I would kind of hope in some sort of way, because the way the father had ended this, you know, hoping to become a good, honest person, you'd kind of hope that was how society felt about
exactly.
those people. Some sort of hope of rehabilitation.
Rehabilitation is the word I was looking for and didn't get to, but thank you.
I feel like the moral of the story is there are so many points in Jennifer's story where she could have just come clean.
That's true.
You know, like
that's a good
starting
point.
In high school. Just, hey, I didn't get straight A's.
You're right.
I'm sorry, I didn't get straight A's.
Right.
But the tension wound up, you know, over time, like with the lies increasing until she was living a double life. Her whole
right.
life was a lie.
And it spiraled on her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it came
exactly.
out. But I think we could say, Jennifer, why didn't you at least say, like, I didn't get straight A's or I didn't get this 100 on this test? But I think the pressure sometimes that parents can put on kids in the reverse would be like, I'm too scared to admit that I'm not perfect
yeah.
because I think I don't know what the consequences would be. But
exactly.
the pressure that you're putting on me for this can only be tremendous. And it's just easier to lie. And I think that's where a lot of kids, especially in the developmental stages of life, really get caught up in everything. I also think the moral of the story is not to name your kid Lenford Crawford.
That would be a good one.
Because now you're just the dorkiest drug dealer on the block.
And by the way, the other moral of the story, blueberry pancakes are really good.
10 stacks, yo, 10 stacks.
We should have that instead of, we should name this Pancakes and Murder next
Lenford
week.
Lenford Crawford.
let's
get to some
listener shout outs. That was an interesting episode, and I like the way we kind of wrap that up. And I have to say, Matt, those are some good points considering you just went through a tumultuous situation with the blender earlier. So way to be on top of the game.
I agree. Do you want me to start this
yes,
off?
Yes, do the first one.
Holly on Twitter says, listening to Martinis and Murder, another shot, and realizing that you are the at Jay Thrasher of your friend group. hashtag thanks for not inviting me. Hashtag no seriously. Hashtag I'm happy at home. Thanks. Hashtag yeah. dedicator.
This is for all my homebodies out there.
That's
that
the
love
thing.
To
it's
stay
like,
at home.
John, we even had this conversation days later after trivia the other day where you were just like, you know, when we kept the sleepover story for a year, and you're
yeah.
like, no, I'm so happy you did. And I was like, but you wouldn't have come.
No. No,
you wouldn't have come.
I don't really do things after about 7:30, 8 p.m. I'm really in a wind-down mode on any given
day.
I mean,
even when we were talking about CrimeCon, and we'd
yeah.
be like, yeah, we all went out to, like, Flaming Saddles. You were like, I was at Walmart and I got a bowl of soup and then I went back to my hotel room and I watched Harry Potter.
Literally,
and I'm like,
everyone
oh.
was partying and I was in the grocery aisle of Walmart. So look, I'm just living my best life.
This is when you realize you're the
Amy Winehouse.
As Amy Winehouse.
He was in Walmart.
The pans would be so proud of you.
What's that?
The pans would be so proud of
they
you.
They would.
Matt and I were sort of living like the alter ego Jennifer life.
Good
and
way
you
to put
were the
that.
Daughter that the pans never had.
Well, you know, that's a great way to put that.
Thank
what
you.
A great way to tie up
Take
this episode. One more listener shout out here.
Yeah, Darren, just call us Homeboy and
Homeboy
Wong.
And
yeah,
Lenford.
Yeah. Lenford.
And Sugar Tits.
Yeah.
Megan on Twitter says, quote, hashtag dedicated, hashtag martinis and murder. Binging on the podcast. Love how you make crime and murder so entertaining. Hashtag Dan, your wife is here. Hashtag cheers, bitches. Hashtag Matt is behind you. Hashtag Matt the bartender. We have so many hashtags on this show. But thank you, Megan. That's a nice
thing to say.
Yeah,
but that's
what
keeps the community going.
That's
I miss
true.
Hashtag Matt is behind you.
I know, we haven't
moved,
heard that one.
Because we moved into this room and...
That's true.
In theory, you're always behind us because you're never ahead of us.
That's true.
Oh.
Thank you. Be here all week.
We'll see you guys next week. Bye.